times or places I've known. Now I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me. All the treasures I used to know have all faded from view.
Faded from view.
There's a new day ahead.
I've known.
Now I'm nearing the home shore.
The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back.
Welcome to Pilgrim's Progress. I'm Pastor Ray Greenley from the National Prayer Chapel. Jesus had had a very tough day. It was the Feast of Tabernacles, and the opposition was out in full firepower. raising every issue possible to condemn him, to tell him that he was wrong, that he was not who he said he was. They did not believe his words, and they confronted him directly, head on. They sent the temple guards to arrest him, but after the temple guards had listened for a while, they went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said, "No one ever spoke like this man before." "What? You think he's for real? Who are you?" And they castigated the temple guards for not bringing him in. I mean, this was a very tense time for Jesus. He knew he was rapidly coming up on his crucifixion. When evening came, he humbly went out to the Mount of Olives. This was where he would go. This is where he would go to rest, to sleep outdoors. He had no home. He had no place to lay his head. He had no comfortable bed to crawl into. This was God at his very best. Everybody else went to their own houses, all the Pharisees and all the Sadducees and all the rulers, even Nicodemus, they all went to their own places to rest. Jesus, he went to the Mount of Olives and there found a comfortable place on the ground. And I'm sure that he alternated between prayer and sleep. He knew people would be at the temple at dawn, and so he was up and brushing himself off and going to the temple courts where he would meet another very dangerous opposition. People gathered around him and he began to teach them. He began to heal the sick. And he sat down to teach them. In that day, if you had something important to say, you sat down and all the people stood. And suddenly there's a commotion, quite a commotion. A crowd of people coming toward your congregation, pushing them aside. The leading Pharisees, the leading teachers of the law, shoved a woman ahead of them. She was disheveled. It's obvious they had pulled her from somebody's bed. She'd been caught in the very act of adultery. She probably had a warm shawl or something to cover her nakedness. And they made her stand in the public before this group. And they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, we're commanded to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Well, there it is. It's raw. It's out in the open. My heart is broken. It's broken for this woman. It's broken for Jesus. And it's broken for these wicked teachers of the law and the Pharisees. I've had to deal with all three groups. The ones that give me the hardest time are the Pharisees. Oh, they know the theology. They've got it down to exact you understand? They think they know it all, and they're full of judgments and anger and bitterness and they walk around in their self-righteousness. Today they're abusing a woman, shoving her ahead of them. She doesn't want to go. She figures her life is over. She believes they will take her outside of the city wall and stone her to death. She's being brought before the judge. The judge is Jesus. Caught in the very act of adultery, pulled out of the bed. I'd ask, where's the man? But of course, that's not the question they're raising, is it? My heart is broken for this woman. She's now publicly exposed. She's been doing this quite a while, probably. In fact, she's been in the bed of a number of these wicked Pharisees and scribes of the law. She's covered with shame. She's probably crying. She's totally ashamed. She knows she's caught, and she knows she'll probably die. She's being brought before the judge. But Jesus refuses to be the judge. We try to make Jesus do what we want him to do. We rally our arguments against him. We rally our defenses against him. Oh, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. All right. That's one argument. Easily shot down. But my heart is broken for this woman. So publicly shamed. How will she deal with this? She's been identified publicly by the scribes and the Pharisees as an adulteress, deserving of death. I saw a young woman. She was having breakfast. She was dressed like a little prostitute. A woman with no moral values, living with a man but not married. Certainly she feels ashamed of that, but no one is saying, you shall die. We're taking you before the judge and we're going to stone you to death. I mean, sin has its own weight. It's a crushing weight. And some of you listening to this broadcast today, no doubt, are fornicators. You think you're okay. But in the back of your mind and your heart, you know you're not okay. You know you're a fornicator. And so you're uneasy in your mind. You believe you're going to be judged and castigated. But it seems so far everybody's just accepting your sin. Jesus is not going to accept this sin, but neither is he going to condemn her. And I want you to know, I'm not going to condemn you either. I don't accept your fornication. I don't accept your lifestyle. But I have no penalty to speak against you. The church today is filled with people who mock Jesus, who bring every kind of uncleanness and homosexuality and every kind of wickedness into the church. And the church today pretty much accepts it. It's normal. It's not normal, and it deserves the penalty of Scripture. It deserves the judgment of God. But instead of speaking the judgment that this woman is deserving of and expecting, something very unexpected happens. Jesus bends down and he begins to write on the ground with his finger in the dust. But that's not good enough for these scribes and Pharisees, and they're out for blood. And so they're still questioning him. Are you going to let this just go by, Jesus, or are you going to do your duty and condemn her? Are you going to be the righteous one? He slowly straightens, stands tall, and he says, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Well, when I saw this woman this morning, I didn't throw a stone at her. I spoke kindly to her. I'm not the judge. I don't execute people. Instead, I represent Jesus. Let's be very clear. It's the Pharisees. It's the keepers of the law. It's the teachers of the law. They're the executioners. They don't understand that Jesus came with grace and mercy, that he does not condemn. Now the day will come when the judgment will be set, and Jesus will sit on that judgment, and he will pass the judgment that we are deserving to receive. But before that, he is giving us much, much opportunity to see his love and his mercy and turn from the darkness that we have entered into. In verse 12, it says of John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Fornicators and others who walk in arrogance and bitterness and sin before God, they're walking in the darkness. They've been seduced by the devil. And they say that Jesus is the darkness and that the devil is the light. What is up is down, and what's down is up. We need to learn what light and darkness truly is. Discouragement, despair, worthlessness. That's all of darkness. None of that is of Jesus. That's from the powers of darkness. You're having emotional problems. Not because of the light, but because of the darkness. And those emotional problems are clarified in the light of Jesus when he says, I'm not condemning you. Did you think Jesus was condemning you? It's the devil who condemns you. It's the devil who comes and causes you to be so discouraged that you give up. It's the devil who comes and causes you to be in utter despair. It's the devil who comes and whispers in your ear that you're not worth anything, that you might as well just quit. All of that is of the devil. It's not of Jesus. Jesus doesn't treat us that way. My heart is broken for this woman. She stands. Jesus hasn't answered the question, are you going to tell them to kill me? He's down writing on the ground. I wonder if she cast her eyes down and saw what he was writing. I don't know what he was writing, but I suspect he was writing the names of the men in that circle that she had slept with. I don't know. I think a lifestyle of adultery is probably pretty much her lifestyle. Maybe her husband travels to Europe, to the tin mines, or some other Roman enterprise that he gets a lot of money from. So he's not home, and she's lonely, and so she goes and climbs in bed with another man. Now, he's going to find out. The whole town's talking about it. And Jesus says, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he stoops down and he begins to write with his finger in the dust. At this, those who brought this woman began to walk away from this thing. It wasn't what they expected to have happen. They expected Jesus to condemn this woman, and they expected then to take and make a spectacle of her as she is stoned to death by the thugs of Jerusalem. And then they'll have a basis for accusing Jesus of issuing an order of execution, which would break the law for the Romans. One at a time, they began to slip away. It's interesting, it says the older ones first. It had more time to play around. But finally, only Jesus is left, silently writing the names of the people in the dust who were also guilty of adultery. Now the woman is standing there trembling before Jesus, who is the healer, the king, the judge, Jesus. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. In other words, she had a life of being an adulteress, a fornicator. And Jesus speaks the truth to her with no condemnation in his voice, no condemnation in his actions. Has no one condemned you? No one, sir. Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. Jesus came to deal with sin. In verse 34, it says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Jesus came to break the bonds of sin in your life. You think it's God who's condemning you. It's not God who's condemning you. It's the devil who is condemning you. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I had opportunity to speak with a number of different people today. And as I spoke with those people, it was clear that they were all in bondage. The bondage of fornication, the bondage of casual indifference to their lives, not realizing that right now is a time of testing for them. Right now is a time when the devil has come and made every lie possible to them and told them every wicked thing about Jesus, and all of it's a book of lies. Jesus is holy and righteous. He's not a condemner. On that great day, yes, when the judgment comes, and every man is given a reward for what he has done, we're going to have to turn to Romans. Romans, the 6th chapter. Shall we go on sinning? Shall we go on fornicating so that grace may increase? By no means. Jesus knew all about the book of Romans. He knew that in his heart, he was opening a way, he was providing a way of escape from those who were caught in the bondage of sin. What is sin? It's rebellion. It's, I don't care, I'm going to do it my way. I don't have to listen to anybody. I'm in charge of my own life. It's rebellion. Shall we continue in that, that grace may increase? No. Instead of that, we're to become kind and loving and merciful, not condemning anyone, finding a place of hope, of resurrection, of deliverance for everyone. I see the people I speak with, and so many of them are caught in this bondage of sin. And they don't see any way to be delivered. They've always been this way. Yes, that's true. They were born this way. We were born into sin under the sin of Adam. We were born into sin. But we don't have to stay there. And this woman, could she deliver herself from her fornication, her adultery, No, she couldn't. I'm sure she many times said, I've got to stop this. I'm going to get caught. Well, finally she was caught. And she stood before the Judge of Judges, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords in this humble garb of his day. She stood before Jesus Christ. And he said, is no one condemning you? I don't condemn you either. But now go and leave your life of sin. Well, what life does he want us to go to? He wants us to go to the life of righteousness, of peace, of joy, of not selling ourselves for a quick, cheap, I won't say it. You know what I mean. We're invited to become one with Jesus. How do we do that? By saying, okay, I want to be done with my life of adultery. I want to be done with my life of lying and cheating and stealing. I want to be done with the casualness of my life where I feel utterly worthless. I want to be done with not knowing what tomorrow will bring. I want to be done with fighting and bickering, anger. Okay. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Take up the position. I'm dying to myself. I'm being baptized into Jesus Christ. And he is going to come and stand before me and say, leave your life of sin. Leave the life of darkness and come and stand in the glorious light of your Father. Stop offering the parts of your body to wickedness. Oh, the temptation rises in your heart and you say, I'll die if I don't. No, you won't. You'll live if you don't. Respect yourself enough to die, to put away this sin. By God's grace, by God's mercy, he's in the light. Remember, I read you the passage. He's in the light. And if you're walking in sin, you're in darkness. And he's saying, come out of that darkness. Come into the light. You're going to have to die to that sin. You're going to have to be crucified with Jesus. The glorious message of the gospel is that you can be baptized into Jesus Christ. You can be baptized into his death. You can be buried with him through baptism into the death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, you too can live a new life. You don't have to continue walking in sin. If you will say to Jesus, Jesus, will you come and rescue me from this life of sin, of rebellion, of darkness? Are you tired of the darkness? Are you tired of the guilt? Are you tired of the shame? You want to walk free? You can. It starts when you begin to get on your face and confess to Jesus all that you've done. Confess to Jesus This is who I've been. I was that woman caught in adultery. I was that man caught in fornication. I was that person, Jesus, and I don't want to be that person anymore. And Jesus is coming and saying, is no one condemning you? No, no one. It's an illusion. It's an illusion of the darkness. Jesus has come to bring you into the light. So count yourselves dead to sin by repenting of it before Jesus Christ. And from this moment forward, consider yourself alive to Jesus and dead to your sin. So don't let your sin reign in your body, so that you obey its evil desires. You cast it off and you join Jesus in the tomb and you die. And you wait upon the Lord for resurrection, and he will bring you forth. After you've finished your work of repentance, he will bring you forth as a new creation. For sin is not to be your master. The darkness is not to be your master. You're invited into the light. Does that mean I'm going to have to continue walking in the darkness? No, no, no. I've tried to talk to some of these people and they're interested, but they don't know much about Jesus. One is a precious Buddhist, doesn't know much about the Christian faith. Well, there's one thing you can know. When you come to Jesus, he will set you free of your fornication. He will set you free of your wickedness. Now, you have to enter in by yourself. It may mean you lose a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It may mean you lose friends. It may mean you change. You begin to walk in the light. And your heart is happy and at peace because you have confessed your sin and Jesus has removed that burden from your heart. And now you walk free in Jesus Christ. I'm hearing some of you say, is this man speaking the truth to us? Does it really work this way? Yes, it does. Try it. It does work this way. You will be set free from sin, and you will serve righteousness or innocence. You will live an innocent life. Clean, washed by the blood of Jesus. But the door into that experience with Jesus is the door of repentance, where you turn and you go a totally different direction. And the man or the woman you've been fornicating with, you say, I can't do this anymore. Come and join with me. Let's go to Jesus. The woman found herself not in the comfortable bed of her lover, but in the cold, brisk wind of a Judeo morning, standing before Jesus, expecting him to say, I condemn you to death. by stoning. Instead, he says, does no man condemn you? No. Where'd they all go? Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin, because he knows that if you continue in your life of sin, you will continue your life of adultery, of stealing, of fornicating. You'll continue your lifestyle of lying and cheating, of anger and bitterness and harshness. He wants a total change in your life, a change you could only dream of having. He's there waiting to give it to you. He's waiting there to give it to you. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. The result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, those scribes and Pharisees were right. This woman deserved to die. But Jesus did not come to condemn us. But don't mistake that for meaning he doesn't care. And that in the end, the darkness will cause you to be cast into the flames of hell. Jesus cares enough to rescue you from that final judgment that must be made upon your life if you continue to walk in league and in hand with the devil in your witchcraft. In your fornication? In your adultery? In your bitterness and your anger? Your unforgiveness? No, this is a whole new life that Jesus is inviting you to enter into. Are you willing to enter into that new life? I'm just hearing in the Spirit that there are some of you listening right now to this broadcast who need to make that decision. You know you've been sinning against God. And he's saying, I don't condemn you, but leave your life of sin. Leave your life of sin and come to me. He's about at this point to go to the cross. And that blood that he will shed on Calvary's cross will wash you of your sin and will open a highway to heaven. A narrow one, but a highway to heaven. That if you take it, you will live. If you reject it and continue in the life you now live, the penalty of sin is death. It's in darkness. And the devil wants you to think that highway to hell is the right one. It's the broad way. It's the way that almost everyone is going to go down. Don't believe him. Come to Jesus now, and he will save your soul. Almighty God, I come with a broken heart today for so many young people and older people who refuse, who are old at heart. They refuse this way. They believe the lie that the devil has told them that they're fine just the way they are, but they're not. Grieves my heart to see an older man or woman. Continue to walk in their way of death and darkness, believing they're good to go and they're not, because they've not surrendered every part of their heart to you, Jesus. It grieves my heart. It breaks my heart to see people, young people particularly that I love, somehow the darkness seems so attractive because they can hide their shame. They can hide their lust. Oh, Lord, would you come and minister to them today? Would you call after their hearts? And we will praise you and honor you. Glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. You've been listening to Pilgrim's Progress. I'm Pastor Ray Greenlee from the National Prayer Chapel. I know many of you who are listening to this broadcast, or who will listen to it this afternoon. I know Jesus is calling you to the prayer chapel. Now, some of you live a long distance away, California, or other parts of the country. I pray that you're in a church that's an honest church, and you hear the real gospel message. But for those of you who live in this area, would you make a decision to get out of your comfort zone? And no matter how difficult it is for you to drive the distance to Woodbridge, Virginia, would you make that decision? Would you come? You can find us at 5009 Softwood Lane, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22192. That's 5009 Softwood Lane, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22192. Or you can write to me at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. I look every day for your letters, your messages. I thank those of you who come on our chat line and encourage my heart.
5 minutes.
I also want to take some time to pray today for the sick. Let's do that. Lord Jesus, there are men and women listening to this broadcast today who are sick. They are under the oppression of the enemy in their bodies. I rebuke that oppression in the name of Jesus. And I say, Satan, be gone. This precious one who has been listening, who is struggling just to live, Lord, I ask your mercy for them. I don't have the gift of healing, but I do have the gift of mercy. And I ask in your mercy, would you heal them? Would you touch them? It's the same as for me. I don't have the gift of healing. But in your mercy, I ask, please, for your healing. There are men and women today who are discouraged, depressed. Don't know how they're going to continue another day. Lord, would you come and minister to them? Would you put your arms around them? Would you encourage them and breathe your Spirit into them and upon them? Lord, I trust you. I trust what you're doing here. I know this is not a work that has a lot of glamour because I'm preaching the truth. But Lord, I ask that it would have a revival result by your Spirit as men and women finally decide to leave their stubbornness behind and reach Jesus, reach you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Please, Jesus, come now. Minister now to those who are listening. Let the sickness be lifted from them. Let the brokenness be lifted from them. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you. We choose to walk in the light and not in the darkness. We choose to walk in your mercy, in your care. Thank you, Jesus. I pray in your holy name. Amen. You can write to me at National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. I pray this broadcast has been helpful to you. Would you pass it on to a friend? I love Jesus, and I love you. And I want you in the kingdom of light with Jesus Christ. And I want you to escape the powers of darkness that are trying to destroy you and discourage you. Jesus is faithful. He will do what he has promised he will do. God bless you, my brother, my sister. I love you. I'll talk to you soon.